The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
We have with us Roderick O'Gorman, the new leader of the Green Party. And by the way, Minister, you're very welcome.
Morning, Anton. Thanks. Thanks for having me on today.
I get the sense, and maybe I'm wrong in this, but you can tell me if I am. I get the sense that one of the things that has happened in the shift in leadership from Eamon Ryan through to you is that there are, I described it before the news as pointier elbows. There is a more aggressive style of leadership. There is a more combative style of leadership with your coalition partners. Would that be fair?
I don't know. Do people often use the term aggressive when they're talking about myself? But I feel this has been a good government over 4.5 years. But I feel it's been a good government because of the Green Party's participation in it. And obviously, I would say that as Green Party leader. And I think as we come towards an election, it is important for our party and for me as leader of the party to assert what we have done over the last 4.5 years and the difference that we've made. Because at some point in the next few weeks or the next few months, we're going to have a general election. And in the last week, people will kind of, after all the noise of the campaign has taken place, people will think, what do I want the next government to look like? And I think that a government of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael with maybe propped up by a couple of independents, if that had taken place in 2020, the last 4 years would have been very different from the type of policies that were implemented than it was. So I think it is really important for me as party leader to talk about what the Green Parties have, what the Green Party have delivered in government over that 4.5 year period.
That could be done publicly while still being sweet and affable with your coalition partners. I get the sense, though, that you are less acquiescent to some of their desires and objectives than your predecessor might have been.
Well, I've a very good working relationship with both the Taoiseach and the Tánaiste. We've just gone through a detailed budget process where I've been able to achieve significant policy goals for our party. So the baby boost payment, triple payment of child benefit for new parents, free public transport for under nines, the implementation of the land hoarding tax, something that was really important. So we've just got that through a process of engagement with our political, our coalition partners. So I think that working relationship is still good, but we're making it very clear that where there are policy differences, as there was on the land hoarding tax, we're going to look to get our objectives achieved, and we feel we've done that over the course of the budget. And even this week, a key priority for me, the ratification of the optional protocol to the UN Disability Convention. That's something I've been working on since March.
So you are taking a tougher stance.
We're making sure that we can get our key goals implemented. I have always said for the Green Party, it's about delivery in government. And one of the key things that I'll speak about in the election is that when people are voting for their Green Party candidate, they're not just voting for the parties that say, oh, it's important to act against climate change. It's important to support children and families. I can point to a party that has delivered on all of those areas over 4.5 years. Going into government is a risk, particularly for a small party. It is a risk. We've always felt that that risk is worthwhile if we can point to policies implemented, if we can point to delivery. And I feel we really can over the last 4.5 years.
Do you think it's going to cost you greatly electorally?
Well, for us, getting the policies implemented has always been key. That's what we're about. That's why we're in the Green Party, to get those policies implemented. We're reducing our carbon emissions now by 7% per year. We've halved the cost of childcare. We've created two new national parks to protect biodiversity. So we are implementing. But
as you describe it, like the risk that any junior partner, whether it be PDs, whether it be Labour, whether it be yourself, there was always that risk that you
get. There was a cost in the local and European elections, undoubtedly. Like, we lost some really good councillors. We lost two good MEPs. We also topped the poll in parts of Dublin City as well in those local elections. But ultimately, Green Party voters are policy focused. And I believe that as we go into this election campaign, as we speak to our record of delivery over the last 4.5 years, and we point to what we would like to do in the next 4 to 5 years, I think Green Party voters will those who we lost in the European and local elections will come back to us, because they will see what the alternative looks like, a potential government without the Green Party, where we don't see a focus on climate or on families and supporting children.
So give us a sense then, when you look at the Green Party history in government, what is it that you believe the Greens delivered that, as you say, would not have happened were you not there?
Well, the halving of childcare costs, that's something that I've led in my department. The fact that our carbon emissions are falling by 7%, that absolutely wouldn't have happened without Green Party participation.
You don't think there is an appetite for that within the major parties themselves?
I don't think there's an appetite for the scale of change needed. I absolutely recognise that in Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, they see that the threat that climate poses to us. But in terms of the focus on those individual policies across a whole range of areas, some of them hard, some of them tough to do, but also in terms of focusing and how we help people, because for me that is absolutely central. We have to make these big changes to our economy and our society to meet our carbon emissions, but government has to be helping people every step of the way, whether it's cutting the cost of public transport like Eamon Ryan did, whether it's making retrofits more affordable, whether it's supporting our farmers with new income streams where they're undertaking, you know, environmentally sustainable activities. We as a government have to help people make that big change.
Is that possible? Because in some of the things, if you look at farming, where you ultimately, if you bounce up against herd reduction, it's very difficult to say that that can be done in a way that is beneficial to the farming community. Likewise, if you look at EVs, we're still at a position where electric vehicles are not economically able to stand toe-to-toe with their ICE counterparts. Therefore, there comes a cost with the transfer to EV. Those kind of things, how can you, with the best will in the world, do them in a way that's net positive for people?
Well, first of all, we have to acknowledge that agriculture is making changes. It's made changes in the last 2 years, particularly in terms of reduction of the use of artificial fertilisers. And that means their emissions are dropping for the first time. And that's something that's really, really
yes,
positive.
But there's such a chasm yet to cover.
But you have to start. You have to make those initial steps. You know, in 2022, Ireland got a 2% reduction. Last year, it's a 7% reduction. So we're making those changes. We're building momentum. But government policy has to be about supporting each of those sectors, whether it's agriculture, whether it's home heating, whether it's transport, public and private. Government has to be taking the steps to support to make that transition. We've done a huge amount in terms of investment in public transport in those big projects. So some of them in my own area, Dart West, for example, got planning permission recently. But I also think we have to ensure that the individual's experience improves as well. So again, talking about public transport, too often I meet commuters who say, oh, the ghost bus, it disappeared off the app. And as well as doing the big stuff, we also have to get that day-to-day small stuff right as well. And that's certainly for myself and for the Greens in the next stall, that programme on that focus on the individual's experience and supporting people at an individual basis is really important.
In terms of likely suitors following the next election, if I remember rightly, the Green Party had a good legacy in taking honourable positions in respect of who to get in bed with. Didn't Trevor Sargent resign over refusal to go into a coalition with Fianna Fáil, wasn't that?
Trevor stepped down as party leader in 2007,
indeed.
Yes.
Any red lines for you?
We've always said we'll respect the democratic mandate of other parties. We've always said we'll engage. I think we spoke to all parties in 2020. As you know, that coalition process took a long, long time. We would have spoken with
But if Sinn Féin finds their mojo again and is the biggest party, you're happy to go into government with them?
We're happy to talk about a programme for government. It has to be on the basis of a good programme for government, though. But we're certainly open to talk. I would, you know, over the last 4 years, I've seen Sinn Féin have shown no interest on environmental matters whatsoever. And that's a concern for me. I'm pretty unclear where they stand on issues around migration at the moment. There's chopping and changing there. Their recent policy is kind of not even skin deep in terms of not really tackling the challenges we face in the area of accommodation.
But if you like the look of the manifesto, you're happy to get in bed.
If we saw an ability to negotiate a programme for government that contained key Green Party priorities, we will speak and engage with all parties on that basis.
What of the politics of being Green Party leader? Because one of the difficulties that your party in Ireland and across the European Union have faced is the capacity to convert the biggest threat to humanity into the biggest delivery of votes at the ballot box. It is quite difficult for the Greens to get that kind of purchase. What's your plan to achieve that?
The plan is to show, A, how the policies that we're putting forward benefit people and benefit our planet as well. And we show that in terms of, you know, making public transport actually more affordable to people, making it more available to people. We show it in terms of the major retrofit scheme that we're doing nationally at the moment, support through SEAI to support people who can undertake a retrofit themselves, but completely free retrofits for those who don't have those resources as well. And over 6,000 of those have now taken place. So it's very much about recognising that long-term goal of cutting our emissions and looking to see how we can support people day to day to achieve that in their own lives.
Although it's funny where you yourself outlined that thing of the gap between the massive existential issue and the small but very real to people like ghost buses, a text to say, "Hello, Greens and bus companies, Galway calling. No bus lanes and no or very few buses between Barna, Knocknacarra and City. No bus from east to west in Galway. Two buses required to do this. 1 hour, 20 minutes to cross the city. A 5 kilometre journey."
Yeah, and I know, having spent most of my life travelling on bus and trains, I know that frustration, absolutely. But it's also fair to say, over the last 4 years, we've seen huge increases in local link, in regional and city services around the country. You know, I was talking to my colleague Cleo Murphy down in Kerry, and in her area it was 3 services a day between around local towns. It's gone up to 12 services a day now as well. So there is really significant improvement in public transport, not just in our cities, but in regional and rural Ireland as well.
You obviously have a very limited amount of time to get election planning and the new approach to leadership into place, given how close you are to the end of the government's tenure. In your planning, what's the date that you're planning for?
The big question, the big question. Well, the honest, I'm obviously out canvassing a lot, and everyone asks me when the date is, and I say I don't know, and they go, "Ah, really? No, you do. And the honest answer is I don't. Myself, the Taoiseach and the Tánaiste haven't sat down and made a decision yet. I think it is important that, you know,
I like the way you characterise that. It will be a decision for the three of you.
It's a discussion. Okay, maybe it's a discussion for the three of us. It's a decision for the Taoiseach ultimately. Taoiseach's been very clear. We will have a discussion, and I welcome that. But I do think this week or next week, we need to give clarity on pre-Christmas, post-Christmas. I think that would be valuable to everybody in terms of their ability to plan.
And when you enter that tripartite discussion, what will your input be? Do you want pre-Christmas? Do you want November?
I want to see what legislation can we get over the line within those timeframes. I have a few priorities myself. The maternity protection bill that allows women defer their maternity leave if they're seriously ill. I'm working to get that over the line.
Deliverable by November?
I hope so, yeah. I want to see the hate crime legislation over the line. I know Minister McAtee is bringing that to the Shannon next week. So for me, it's not actually about the date. It's about what we can get done in a meaningful way between now and the date, be that November or be it in the new year.
One final thing while I have you. The front page of the Sunday Independent, we were talking about this earlier on, Michael O'Leary expressing with some glee legal advice that they have got that indicates that the IAA restricting flights in and out of Dublin Airport to deliver on the limits set by the planning passenger cap. He says that his legal advice says that it's a violation of the IAA's statutory functions and Ireland's obligations under EU law. And he says that he sent this senior counsel assessment to the Department of Transport, where he said it has caused turmoil. And I quote, "We fired it off to Roderick O'Gorman yesterday and we have some contacts with inside the Department of Transport. They've gone apeshit." Is that how you would characterise it, Minister?
Well, I'm not in the Department of Transport.
I think he's including you, having fired it off to you.
No, no one is better at grabbing a headline than Michael O'Leary. But ultimately, this is a planning issue and it's being dealt with in the planning process right now. And Ireland has, when we look in our not too distant history, we saw what happened when politicians start messing around with the planning process. 2007, planning permission granted for T2 contained a cap. That's being challenged now in a new planning application. Fingal County Councillor looking at it. Let's let that process work its way through.
Minister, thank you very much. That is Minister Roderick O'Gorman, new Green Party. I still think it's technically still new. Is it 3 months in, or is that?
I think we can say Green Party leader.
Okay, Green Party leader.
The shine's gone off, but we're working hard.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.